You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
God loves us. He's for us. He's not against us. He's not our problem. He's our answer. He's our ally. He's our friend. Amen? He's our victory. The tragedies of life, the crisis of life, that's not God doing anything to you. In fact, it's God that gets you out of those things, gets you through those things. You know, if you ever got mad at somebody and it turned out they weren't even the ones that did what you thought they did. You know, you heard something and you got mad at them and as the truth came out and it was somebody else, it wasn't even them, and all that time you were mad at the wrong person. I remember when I was a little kid, Mama used to spank me. She spanked me a lot. I was worthy. But my brother, he's 3 years older, and he was always just, you know, we were just like brothers. We just fought all the time, you know. And Mama spanked me, and I'd just go in a circle. She'd be going around spanking me like this. And my brother would be laughing, and I'd slap him every time I come around. Just slap him like that. Come around, I'd slap him again. And I think about that. I'm slapping him. She's spanking me. God forbid I slap my mama. She spanked me again. But I'm slapping him. He ain't doing anything. It'd be like Tommy getting mad at me and me go over and getting all over Brenda. Now, we laugh, but you know we do that. We have a bad day at work. We go home, take it out on the wife. Yeah, Melissa's going, oh, huh? Yeah, okay. Something going on here. I don't know. Okay, just okay. Pray for y'all after service. We'll take care of that. Or it could be the other way around. The wife comes home, you know, just had a bad day, takes it out on the husband. That would be it. Redeemed the situation already. That's what you were thinking, yeah. Okay. But we're taking it all out on the wrong person. It's always amazes me how the dog never gets that. The dog gets all the loving, all the hugging. You have the worst day in the world, and boy, that dog, oh, you sweet little, how's your day today, you pretty little thing? You walk in the house, what, how's your work? I don't want to talk about it. You know, take it out on your wife, your dog, you just pet that dog, and, you know. But I think, really, in a broader sense, in a bigger picture, we do that with God. Things go wrong, we'll get mad at him. And he didn't do a thing. Wasn't anything he did. I think we're unaware in many cases who our enemy really is. And it's not your wife, and it's not your husband. And it's not your boss, and it's sure not God. You say, well, isn't God controlling everything? No, the Bible emphatically tells us he's not. It tells us what he does and what he doesn't do. It tells us what he wants of our life, and he leaves the choice up to us to obey him or not. And it also tells us we have an enemy, and that enemy is not God. That enemy is the devil. Oh, my goodness, we're going to talk about the devil. Yep, we're going to talk about the devil from the Bible. I think it's fascinating that Jesus had so much to say about him. You don't hear a lot about it in the Old Testament. There's a little bit there in Job and a little bit there in Ezekiel and Isaiah. But he's basically just not there. There's no revelation of him. But Jesus comes along, and he is talking constantly about how he's our enemy and how he's the ones that tempt us. And he's the one that tries to get us to sin. And he's the one that got in Peter at one time. And, you know, over and over, Jesus is talking about the devil. The New Testament writers are talking about him. Now, I'm not talking about pitchforks and the tail and the red, you know, horns and all that. But there is a devil out there, and it's not your mother-in-law. Okay. Or your son-in-law. Hello. Turn with me to 1 Peter. You're going to love this. God's not your enemy. Amen? God is not your problem. He's not trying to work something out in your life with some tragedy in your life. Listen, life is messed up. It doesn't take a lot of snap to figure that out. We live in a fallen world. We live in a broken world. And you know, it's not of God's design. Sin was never God's plan. And corruption and death and destruction, those were not God's deals. God didn't do those things. That came because of sin. And the Bible tells us the whole story. Adam comes along, he sins. And when he sinned, then death came into the world. And destruction came in the world. In fact, it's really pretty plain. When Jesus shows up, he starts coming against all those things. He starts healing diseases. He starts raising the dead. He starts stopping storms. He starts stopping storms. I don't know if that's grammatically correct, but he does start stopping. He stops storms, and he gives to the poor. He doesn't make people poor. He gives to the poor. So Jesus, being God, we see in him the will of God, and we see that God wasn't behind all that, that Jesus came to do away with all that. In fact, the Bible tells us, 1 John 3:8, that for this purpose was the Son of God manifest or made known, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's right. Well, what did he destroy? He destroyed sickness and disease. He destroyed poverty. That's why we're so set against that. That's why we build hospitals and go to doctors and praise doctors who come up with great surgeries and great cures and medical technicians, scientific discoveries. We honor and give Nobel Peace Prizes to people who really find out ways to help suffering, sighing, dying humanity. Suffering is wrong. Sickness is not good. It's not a blessing. It's a curse. Are you with me? And we know that more than we think we do. I don't know why religiously we want to put that on God and make it sound like he's trying to make us better people through sickness or make us better people through tragedy and crisis. It does not make us better. The only thing that makes us better is trusting God and believing God and standing on his word and doing what he says. There are people who go through tragedy and never come to God, and it makes them worse. You say, well, I went through it and it made me a better person. No, it did not make you a better person. You praise God for an answer, or you call on God for help, or you got back in church. That's what made you a better person, not the tragedy.
That's right.
You say, well, that pushed me into church. No, it didn't. It didn't push you into church. You made a decision.
That's right.
You made a choice that you were going to do something about this. Hallelujah. For everyone that comes to church when that happens, there's people that leave church when that happens. So the tragedy, let's don't get confused here. So don't slap your brother when your mama's spanking you. Hello. And then this, you know, we'll thank God for a problem. Don't thank God for the problems you're having in your life. If you feel this compulsion to thank someone for your pain, go thank the devil. He's the one that did it.
Amen. That's right. Come on.
Are you out there? Or are you going home? Okay. Well, I want to enlighten you. I'm not my object is not shock you, but I do want to. Sometimes we do have to wake up, and I think we hear these things many times from ministers, and you know that whatever's tragedies have, God's working something in your life, that God has a plan. Well, God does have a plan. He has a plan that you believe and trust him when that happens. He has a plan that you resist the devil when he comes. He has a plan that through the name of Jesus, you can overcome the trials of life. You're going to have opposition. You're going to have struggles. You're going to have trials as long as you're here in this life. But thank God there is help, there is hope, there is healing, there's a cure.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all found 1 Peter. 1 Peter, well, it starts out in the 5th verse, says, likewise, you younger people, the older I get, the more I love this verse. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Hallelujah, somebody. Okay. Well, actually, we submit to each other. Amen. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. I think it's interesting. You don't have to promote yourself. Just promote God. God will promote you. Amen. If you'll humble yourself under God's hand, he'll exalt you. Well, I got to do this. I got to be known. I got to make myself known. I got to push myself. Well, no. You just promote God. You just stand up for Jesus. Stand up for what's right and let God promote you. Therefore, humble yourselves. What did I say? I didn't say 5? Okay. Okay. That's what I'm reading. I just didn't say that, did I? Okay. What's wrong with y'all? Y'all don't know where that verse is? Do I have to tell you everywhere I'm turning to? Okay. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 5. See, this is my chance to show humility here. You know, it's just my chance to do that. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Hey, nothing wrong with being exalted long God does it, long as he's the one that does it to you. There's nothing wrong with being raised up, promoted, long as God's the one that does it, and you're not self-promoting yours, you know, in that sense. So he says that he'll exalt you in due time. Be patient. Just be patient. If you'll do the right thing, God will finally promote you and bless you. He will. He wants to bless you. He really does. Goes on 7th verse, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. How many of you know God cares for you?
Yes.
He's not the one giving you the trials and the tribulations and the trouble. He is the one giving you the hope and the help and the strength and the answers. Cast your care upon him, for he cares for you. He doesn't care about you so much that he breaks your legs and burns your house down. He cares about you to heal your legs and restore your house, rebuild your house. Maybe you've got some broken down houses and broken legs in your life, as it were. But I tell you, you can come to Jesus and get restoration. He's not the one that's been against you. Don't get mad at him and bitter at him. Don't slap him as you're going around this thing. No, you come to him and you run to him. He is your friend. He is your ally. He is your hope and he is your help. Hallelujah. Cast your care upon him, for he cares for you. Notice what he says in the 8th verse. Be sober. Wake up. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We do have an adversary. I think most of us don't realize that, or many times we don't. We go through life thinking God's behind everything, and yet the Bible explicitly tells us that the devil is the one who's against us. Think about it. Who's the one that tempted Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? Wasn't God. It was the devil through the serpent. Who is the one that tried Job? If you go through Job, who's the one that came against him? Who's the one that killed his kids? Who's the one that sent those armies against him, put sickness on him? Read it. Job, the Bible tells us the devil did that. Very explicitly. It says Satan did all that to him. Who's the one that tempted Jesus in the wilderness in Matthew, the 4th chapter? After 40 days of fasting, who came and tempted him? Satan tempted him. Who's the tempter? Satan, he's called the tempter, the tester, the trier, the one that tries and tempts and tests us. Who's the one that made all those people sick that Jesus healed? Satan. Acts 10:38 tells us how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Acts 10:38 tells us that. And then I just mentioned 1 John 3:8, where it says, "For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Okay. Who's your enemy here? The devil. All right. Now, this is good news, because now we know what's going on here. We know what the battle is. Even when we're having trouble with people, it's not the people, it's the devil trying to use people. Hello. In fact, anybody gets saved and gets right and turns their life over to the Lord can be a wonderful person. And all they really need is to get right with God and get saved, and they'll quit all that wickedness and that evil. You did the same thing when you got saved and you turned your life around, because you quit listening to the devil, yielding to the devil, and you started yielding to God. Yes. Now, when tragedy comes in life, we need to get it straight. It's not God, it's the devil. That's right. We have an enemy, and it's not God. God's not against us. Don't be like Charlie Brown thinking everybody's picking on you. No, it's not everybody picking on you. There's somebody that really does hate you, hates everything about you, wants to kill, steal, and destroy from you, like Jesus said in John 10:10. Jesus said this, John 10:10, he said, "The thief comes to kill, steal, destroy. I have come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly." So as soon as I see killing, stealing, and destroying, I can know that I know from the Scripture, from Jesus' own lips, that is not God. Because Jesus came that I might have life. Yes. And that I might have it more abundantly. Wow. So we're getting instruction here from God's Word about life and about what happens in life. Everything that happens in life is not God. Some things happen in life is the devil. Some things happen in life is God. And some things you.
That's right. Come on.
There's like three players on this stage. And you can do some things, and God does things, the devil does things. Now ultimately, God's going to win. We know that because we read the back of the book. And I love that saying, when the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. He loses, we win. He's a loser. Okay. But he says be sober. And I think this is very, very applicable, I guess you'd say, pertinent, current. For today, we need to get a hold of this. We need to wake up. We need to sober up here. And we need to wake up to this fact. And we need to be vigilant. We need to be watchful. We need to understand there's a battle going on. There's a battle going on for your soul. There's a battle going on for the soul of your children. There's a battle going on for the soul of your community and your city and your nation and for your world. There's a battle going on. There are lines drawn in the sand. There is an enemy out there, and you need to wake up and you need to be watchful. And he's trying to tempt you and test you and woo you and deceive you and get you off into sin and get you off into anger and all kinds of things. He's throwing everything he's got at you. But I'll tell you, if you'll believe God and trust God, you can win this deal.
Amen. That's right.
You can win this deal. But you got to understand where the bullets are coming from. I mean, you're going to fire back and hit the wrong person. You're going to be wiping out people with friendly fire. And we do that in churches. You know, my uncle used to have used to raise chickens. And I'm from East Texas. Of course, you can't tell. I don't have an accent. But that was a joke. But then a couple of you got. But my uncle used to have chicken houses. He had 3 chicken houses. I mean big chicken houses. Center Texas is where I'm born and raised. And Brenda's from Center also. But it was real well known for chicken houses and pulpwood. That's their big industry. And at one time, it used to be like the chicken capital of the world. You know, Shelby County, that county. I think there's another one up in Tennessee or somewhere now. But anyway, yes, I do have a point. I am getting to it. He had 3 chicken houses. One of them held 6,000 chickens. Another one held 6,000. He had another one held 12,000 chickens. That's a lot of chickens. And they would just raise them real quick and, you know, feed them with all that stuff that kills you and me and make them grow real fast. And then in a few weeks, you got some fryers, and you go in there and you catch them. The thing about chickens, you'd have to really be careful with chickens, because if you walked in one end, the big, long houses, you know, if you walked in one end and made any sudden movements, they'd all run back to back and just suffocate and crush a bunch of them. And then if one of them had a fault, a beak that was funny, a deformed birth, then the rest of the little chicks would just pick on them and pick on them until he dies. They just peck, peck, peck till they kill that chicken. And they just didn't understand what was going on. They're just chickens. And I guess the moral of the story is we're Christians, not chickens. If something's wrong with somebody, don't just peck at them till you kill them. Don't wipe them out with friendly fire. We've got an enemy here. It's not each other. It's God. I mean, it's the devil. Excuse me. Whoa. Take that back. We have an enemy here. It's the devil. It's not each other. In fact, the Bible tells us to pray for one another. It tells us to submit to one another, pray for, humble ourselves. Are you with me? Because our enemy is not each other. Our enemy is not God. Our enemy is the devil. Too many churches, if someone has a fall or has something wrong with them, we just peck at them and peck at them until we just destroy them. Now, should we be light on sin? Of course not. We're against sin. We're against sin. Sin's bad. Sin will destroy you. We stand up boldly and say sin is wrong. It's hurtful. But we're not against the sinner. We're for the sinner. In fact, anything that's current now today, modern day, accepted today, you know, that we consider to be sinful, we don't hate people that are in that sin. Listen, I don't hate people that have committed abortions. We're not into ghost shooting abortion doctors. Are you with me? But abortion is murder. And we're against abortion. And anyone that has ever had an abortion, we're for them. We want them to come to Jesus. God will heal them and heal their mind, whatever's wrong with them, and he'll set them free. And if you sin, he'll set you free. We're not against homosexuals, but homosexuality is a sin, according to the Bible. But bring them. If they want to repent and come to Jesus, come on, we'll take you. If you'll come to Jesus, there is restoration. There is forgiveness. Adultery, there is forgiveness. Maybe you've been lying. Bring the liars. That went over real big. If you repent and quit lying, we want you to come. We're against sin, not the sinner. Hello? See, people are not our enemies. We get the idea that everybody out there since sin's our enemy. No, no, the enemy is the devil. It's not each other. No, 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 no. No, we've got to love each other. Amen? So he says this. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I love the way it says it here. Seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for permission. Did you know you don't have to give him permission? Well, there's nothing I can do about it. Yes, there's a whole lot you can do about it. You can stop that insanity. You can stop that cycle of tragedy, that cycle of pain, that cycle of going under every time. You can start winning. Hallelujah. You can call on Jesus and get the victory. You can start trusting God and believing God and standing on His promises and come out of that cycle of pain. Come out of the wilderness and come on over here into the promised land. Come out of the wilderness of your pain. Come out of the wilderness of your sickness. Come out of the wilderness of depression. Whatever it is that you're walking around in a wilderness in, there is a promised land waiting for you, a land of promises, the promised land. Come on over, cross the Jordan. You can do something about this. Cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. That's what He said. Amen. God cares for you. He loves you. He wants you to come out of this. He does not want you to go under. He is not your problem.
That's right.
He never has been and never will be. I tell you, the sad truth is in many churches, thank God for churches. Don't take this wrong, because I'm for churches. Right in competition. But sadly, in many churches, you hear that everything that happens to you is God. Sadly, in many churches, you hear that when you're going through something, that God's trying to work something out in you. Or if you're sick, you're sick for His glory. Or if some tragedy or loss in your life took place, God did this for a reason, or God had a purpose or a plan. No, God did not do that. God's not into death. God's not into destruction. God's not into sickness. God is into life.
That's right.
He's into forgiveness and restoration. This world is messed up, but that's because of sin. And this world's coming to an end. And Jesus is going to come back and take it all over. And that's all going to be changed. One day we're going to go to heaven. There is no sickness there. There is no pain. There is no sign. There is no dying. Former things have passed away and all things become new. This was not God's plan. What's happening in the world is because someone did not listen to God's plan and disobeyed God's plan. That's someone being Adam. And the same thing happens in our life when we don't obey God and we miss God. Things happen. But it's not God. We get ourselves in those situations.
Amen.
Or we're listening, you know, to the devil instead of God. When you get mad, you have just listened to the devil.
Mm-hmm.
When you start lashing out and you try to take revenge, you're bitter, you are listening to the devil. You need to wake up. Be sober. You need to be watchful when you feel that coming and realize that is not God. That's the devil. And he's trying to devour you, seeking whom he may devour. Ninth verse, listen to this. Resist him steadfast in the faith. Resist him. I love that word. That's the Greek word anthistome. We get the word antihistamine. It stands against or opposes or resist or withstand something. It's translated withstand also in the Bible. In fact, Ephesians 6:13. Remember Ephesians 6:12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against a spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, rulers of the darkness of this world. And it goes on and says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand the evil day, and having done all to stand. Okay, that word to stand or withstand, and there's the same word here, resist. So that's interesting. He says here, resist him steadfast in the faith. How do you resist the devil? You have to do it by believing God in the faith. The only power you have against the devil is to believe God and trust God. See, we don't fight the devil. We don't beat the devil. We resist the devil.
Yeah.
He's already been beaten. He's already been defeated by Jesus. I mean, we're not fighting the devil per se. We're just resisting the devil. The fight we fight is a fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6:12 tells us that. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold upon eternal life, whereunto you are also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So what is our fight? It's a fight whether we're going to believe God or not.
Yeah.
It's a fight whether we're going to trust the Lord or not. When tragedy happens and pain comes and trouble comes and temptation comes, the fight, the struggle is whether we're going to trust God or not. Whether we're going to believe Him or not. If we believe Him, then we are resisting, in essence, by believing God, we're resisting the devil.
Amen.
We're choosing to trust God and stand on His Word when the trouble comes. Then that's the greatest weapon we could ever use against the devil, because the fight we fight is a fight of faith. And we can withstand in the evil day. And let me tell you something, brother and sister, the evil day will come.
Yes.
It comes to all. The time of temptation comes to all. Tragedy comes to all. Now the question is, what are we going to do when it comes?
Yeah.
Now the Bible tells us what to do. It tells us stand in faith and believe God and trust God. But realize this, that God's not trying you and God's not testing you. See, God's not for you and against you. God doesn't make you sick and heal you. He didn't make you depressed and give you peace. He's not schizophrenic. He's not bipolar. He's not confused. And He's not conflicted. He knows who He is.
Yeah.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the Lord God. He changes not. He is good. Any way you look at Him, He's good. You know what James said? James told us in the first chapter, 13th verse, he said, when a man is tempted, let him not say he's tempted of God, for God tempteth no man. That's just the scripture. I mean, you may have another thought, but I just thought I'd just tell you what God said. Hello. So, temptation, tests, and trials don't come from God. They come from the devil. What comes from God? help, hope, strength, and the answer. Victory comes from God. Amen? So he says, ninth verse, when that roaring lion comes, when that enemy, the adversary, the devil comes, resist him. Steadfast in the, don't give in to it. When the pain comes, don't give in to it. When the depression comes, don't lock all your doors and put on your blues music. Getting quiet in here now because you know what? I'm talking to you now, aren't I? Yeah. I got to quit preaching. Now I'm talking to you. You know how you do. You know, you start, you get down and you start wanting to listen to all that blues music, man. And just, you know, nobody knows the trouble I see. You don't want to hear happy songs. You want to hear sad songs, you know. Instead of resisting the thing, you want to entice the thing and pet the thing. This is a stray dog you need to shoot. You don't need to feed this one. Now, don't give in to it. Don't you do it. Don't you give in to it. Don't you do that. Jesus paid a price for you to win. He shed blood on the cross, took stripes on his back that you might be healed. Don't make that be done in vain. Don't do that. Rise up and take advantage of what Jesus has given you. Fight this thing, and let's win this thing. Let's win this victory. Let's let the world know there is a God in heaven. Hallelujah. And there's a God who loves us and cares for us. And we don't have to go under. And life may deal us a bunch of trouble, but praise God, we can look to heaven and we can get help and we can get answers and we can get victory. Let's get down in that valley and beat that giant like David did. Let's don't run up the other side of the hill and tremble in our boots. Let's go down there and show them that there is a God in Israel. There is a God in Wills Point, Texas. There is a God in my family. And he is good. Hallelujah. Think about it. See, you got to resist the devil, but you got to fight. The promises of God, you fight for the promises. They don't just fall on you. You fight for them. You go for them. You pursue them. You call. You believe. You trust. You confess. The promised land was not just handed over to the children of Israel. It was given to them, you know, in theory, by right it was theirs. But they had to cross the Jordan. They had to fight city by city, and they had to take their promises that the devil was sitting on. And in your life, there's a devil sitting on a good marriage. He's trying to ruin a good marriage. You need to fight for a good marriage. You need to pray. You need to believe God. You need to get on your knees and lift up your spouse and pray. Fight the devil in the sense of believing God. Amen. Trusting God. Resist him. Resist the temptation to break that thing up. Resist the temptation to throw all that away. Are you with me? Resist that. How? In the faith. In the faith. Ooh, man. You've got an enemy. And it's not. No, this is not your plight. This is not your destiny. This is not God's will for your life to be miserable. God wants to bless you. He wants to not just take you to heaven, but he wants to give you some heaven on earth. He wants you to have life, and he wants you to have it more abundantly. Now, your whole life's not going to be a bed of roses. There's a battle going on. We got an enemy. There's fighting going on here. And that's what we find out from the Scripture. But if you lay down, you lose. If you quit, you just lose. Let's don't lay down. Amen. Let's fight, man. Let's fight. In fact, oh, notice this. Go over to the James 4th chapter. I'm just going to have to quit here in a minute because it's good stuff. I want to encourage you. I think sometimes in church we're just too passive. Often lackadaisical about things. Often apathetic, you know. I just love that joke about that. Coach, it got all over that guy on that football team. Says, "Son, I don't know what's wrong with you. I don't know if you're ignorant or apathetic." And the player says, "Coach, I don't know and I don't care." But that's kind of the way we are. And I think that's the devil's biggest weapons when you think about it. His biggest scheme or strategy or devices is really just ignorance or deception. One of the two. He likes to keep us ignorant, or if we know some of the Scripture, he likes to keep us deceived about it. He's the deceiver of the brethren. That's what the Bible calls him. Because he knows. See, the devil knows if you ever get a hold of the truth and you ever get a hold of the promises, man, his days are numbered. Because Jesus said this, if you continue my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you know the truth. And the truth will make you free. That's what Jesus says. And he said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. See, his days are over. The devil's days are over in your life. He's going to keep coming, sure. But he's going to keep losing. When you find out what God says about you, and what God says about the devil, you're going to find out that, listen, you don't have to put up with that anymore.
That's right.
You don't have to do that anymore. You don't have to give in to that sin anymore. You don't have to give in to that destruction anymore. You can get on your knees. You can pray. You can seek God. You can get the victory.
Hallelujah.
That's good. Hallelujah. Don't you give in. You resist Him. It's what God says to do. Now notice this in James 4, verse 7. Therefore, James 4, verse 7, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, you know, just think about that. Writing a whole thesis on this verse. If I'm going to, submit to God and resist the devil. Now, if that's the only verse I had, if that's all I had is this one verse, I know from this verse alone, everything that happens in life is not God. Or else how could I, why would he tell me to resist something and submit to something? Because if everything's God, then there be no resisting or submitting. Just whatever happens, happens. You know, as Doris Day sang, for all you people over 50. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera. No, I'm sorry. That is not the way it is. No. Whatever will be, will be. No. Whatever you see, if it's going to be, it's up to me. If it's going to happen, I'm going to have to believe. I'm going to have to call. I'm going to have to cry out to God. I'm going to have to choose His word. I'm going to have to resist the devil. Submit to God and resist the devil. Submit to God, resist the devil. So all of life is submitting to God, resisting the devil. There are things that happen in life that are the God, and things that happen in life that are the devil, and I got to submit to God and resist the devil. Everything that happens is not God. Everything that happens is not the devil. Some things the devil, some things God, and I'm going through life submitting to God, resisting the devil. Submitting to God, resisting the devil. Couldn't be any simpler, could it? So we know that life is just, we're pulled, see? The world and sin is pulling, the devil's pulling us, and he's throwing stuff at us left and right, see? We got to resist. Well, how do we resist? We submit to God. We submit to God, and we resist the devil, and he flees. We resist him in the faith. That's what 1 Peter said. And we fight, 1 Timothy 6:12, I didn't tell you to turn there, I quoted it. We fight the good fight of faith. There is a battle going on. There is. For your soul, for your children, for your marriage, for your city. Are we going to fight this thing? We need to fight it. We've got an enemy, and our enemy's not God. You know, maybe you're going through some things in your life. I don't know. Maybe you're thinking, what is God trying to do here? Well, God's not trying to do anything. In many cases, it's just the devil trying to kill you. Oh, really? We get paralysis of analysis. We get to overanalyzing everything. You know, something happens and we think, oh, God in His wisdom has done this to me to make me a certain person. Well, now, wait a minute. Where is the devil? Yeah. Isn't there a devil? We just read there was. Aren't we supposed to be resisting something? I mean, if I got to resist something, I got to be able to identify what it is. Right. As you go through the Scripture, you begin to see the devil has nothing but destruction in mind. He's the one who made all those people sick. Jesus healed. He's the one that started those storms. Jesus stopped. See, Jesus didn't stop a storm that God started. He didn't heal a sickness that God put on people. Jesus even said this. He said, a house divided against itself shall not stand. Jesus the one said it. He said, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. And the devil's not in God's employ. He's not God's hitman. God didn't hire him to do his dirty work. He's not working for God. He is opposed to God. He's opposed to His will. He's opposed to His command. He's opposed to His people. He even tried to kill Jesus. Hello. Thought he buried Him. He just planted Him. What you plant comes back up. Think about it. But what did Jesus do? What did He do when the devil came? Well, we have that account in Matthew 4 chapter, and we know what He did. It says, He said, it is written. How did He resist Him? With the Word. He said, it is written. So find out what the Word says. Find out what God says about your situation. You'll find out that He's not your problem, that He actually has hope and help and answers for you. And then start standing on those promises, and in so doing, submitting to God, then resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. But recognize this, God's not your enemy. Amen? He is your ally. He is your friend. He is for you. He's not against you. You know, I know that sometimes there's confusion in life because we get the idea of God making everything, and he did. And he set everything in motion, and he did. But he also gave us free will, and that's where the problem came in. He gave Adam free will, and Adam listened to the devil. And he gave in to the devil. And because God wouldn't take free will back from Adam, he allowed him to continue on his course, and sin entered the world, and destruction entered the world. And then God, the only way God could fix that is send another man into the world that didn't have sin. And there was nobody else. So he himself became a man, a sinless man, and came into the world and redeemed us. And never disobeyed God, and never gave over to the devil, resisted him on every point and every account, and then shed his perfect, holy, sinless blood as a man born into the earth, free, who'd never sinned, and shed his blood for all of mankind. So as sure as Adam got us in this mess, Jesus got us out. As sure as in Adam all die, in Christ all are made alive. So you and I have been born again because we're no longer in Adam, but we're in Christ. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Amen. Think about it. We're still in this world, but we got to recognize there's a battle going on. This is a war zone. If you hadn't figured it out yet, we're not in heaven. And when you see all these things happening, recognize this. God's not the one doing all the bad things. God is good. Devil's bad. It's real simple. For everybody in kindergarten, good God, bad devil. And you say that about 10 times every morning when you get up. Good God, bad devil. Bad devil. Good God. Amen. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you.